Thank God for his goodness and his faithfulness. And I know that there are others of you that I think there are probably others of you that have something on your heart, and you can anytime, tonight, tomorrow. You'll have plenty of opportunity. Take those opportunities. It's good to hear what the Lord has done. It's good to share with one another, exhort one another, admonish one another. It's good to do that. And when everything comes from up here, it's not so good. It's better to hear from you. It's a blessing. More to hear what the Lord has done for some of you than for me to say anything, this or that or the other. It's fresh. It's real. It's your experience. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And there's nothing like a personal experience to share with others, to show and to prove again and again the reality of Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad. I'm glad, too, for that stanza that my wife mentioned. We can live in his employ. He has a job for every one of us. Yes. Did you know that? Every one of us. You say, yeah, I know, I'm a housekeeper. No, I don't necessarily mean that. There's another job. It's a bigger one. It encompasses that perhaps right now in these 2 weeks, but there's a larger job. He has a work for every one of us to do, something that he's assigned before you were even born. Now, that's hard for me to imagine because I can't think the way God thinks. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has foreordained that we walk in them. So he saw Gladys Stephan before Gladys Stephan knew she was Gladys Stephan. And he had a program, a plan, a design over her life. And I don't know if she always fulfilled it perfectly. And I don't know if Peter Petruska did either. I know that I didn't. But I know that God, in his patience, worked with me. He had a hard job harder job with some than with others because, well, we didn't really acquiesce too quickly to his will. And maybe you're still putting up a fight. Maybe you're still resisting. He'd like to shape you and plane you and move you in this direction, and you don't want to go in that direction. You're stubborn. You're obstinate. You want him to bless you the way you are. And he says, you know what? It's really best that I have my way with you and that you just take your hands off the wheel and let me drive a little while because I know better than you do. And sometimes we fight that. I know I fought that in my life because I had a plan for my life. It had nothing to do with a pulpit and a microphone. It had all to do with a basketball and a gymnasium. That's what I would have if I had my way. And even, well, that didn't even work out right away at the beginning. It would have. It could have. And then I found another profession that I really enjoyed, which I just kind of fell into. And I thought it would be for a little stopgap time until the new September rolls around, the new school year, and I could get a real job as a gym teacher someplace. And then I found that I liked this job, too. I liked everything that I've done. And I was working, and I had my own car. They gave me a company car. Well, you know, when you're 22 years old and you got your own company car, or 23, I guess I was 22, I said, that's pretty good. They give me a car to drive around in. And I make my own hours, and I work half a day and get paid the whole. That's pretty good, too. I mean, things are going my way. I like this job. And one thing led to another. And the Lord didn't want that for me. He had something else. He had something else that he had foreordained for me. And I got to the place in my life where I knew what that was. I knew what that was. I mean, it didn't just take Brother Gordon Gardner tugging on my shirt every, do you know what the Lord wants from you? Maybe. But no. Why can't I just serve the Lord? I could sing in the choir. I could play my trumpet in church. I could teach a Sunday school class, and I'll do all that. That's great. That's part of my program. That's part of my agenda. I like that. This is, Lord, have your way with me, and this is what you're going to do with me, because this is what I'm allowing you to do. And then I found that's not everybody. I'm not you. And maybe you're the gym teacher that I wanted to be. Or maybe you're programmed before ordained that you should do this or that. But I fought that for a little while. I won't tell the whole story here this morning about what had happened and how it happened and when and where and why. But I finally one day had to say yes. I had to say no to myself in order to say yes to him. That's hard to do. I'm not talking about did I get saved. I'm not talking about that. I had loved the Lord and I wanted to serve the Lord and I was saved. But he wanted to have his way with me. And that I didn't know that I really wanted him to have. I wanted me to have my way with me. And Lord, you bless it. You know, the Lord is looking for vessels that he could shape. And he can make out of you just what he wants to make out of you. You have an idea of what you want to be, and he has an idea of what he would have you to be, and which is better? Is it best that you do your thing and you have your way, or is it best, as Sister Irene said, just to say, Lord, it's all yours. Now you have your way. For mercy so great, what return can I make? I'll love you and I'll serve you with all that I have. And that all part is the real rub for a lot of us. I'll love you and I'll serve you, but not with all that I have. With half of what I have. With a lot of what I have. As a matter of fact, Lord, I'll give you more than most. And so that makes me better than most. But that yet doesn't make me what he wants me to be. Until I acquiesce and submit to his will. And they were taught to pray that, are we not? Did you ever pray the Lord's Prayer? It's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. It's your prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it's being done in heaven. Well, what does that mean? That means, Lord, have your way with me. Get your will done in me today. I'm looking, the Lord is looking, always has looked for vessels. And he's always had a tough time. Did you notice that in the Bible when you read the Bible? He always has a tough time finding vessels. It's not that there are a dearth of people. There are people aplenty. But vessels that he can mold and he can make into what he wants them to be, there's a problem there sometimes. In Ezekiel's day, it got so bad in Ezekiel's day. Is it Ezekiel 22, something 20, somewhere around in there, where the Lord says, I looked for a man. I looked for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I'm looking for somebody, anybody. And I didn't find anybody. I found none. That's pretty sad. Lord, there's not one person that you could find in all Israel that would stand in the gap, would intercede and stand on behalf of the people. There's nobody, nobody that you would find. Lord had a tough time getting Moses, remember? Lord, we want to be delivered. We don't like slavery. I mean, it's pits. We want out. We want out of this house of bondage. And Lord, please deliver us. Deliver us from the servitude to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Lord, free us. Okay, I hear your prayer and your cry. Moses, I want to use you. Yes, Lord, your will be done, but not me. Not me. Lord, I can't. I can't. None of us can. That's the whole point of it, you understand. They all said that. Everybody says that. I can't. That's not me. It's not what I am. It's not what I'm feeling right now. Well, forget about who you are and what you're feeling right now and let him have his way with you and he'll make you what you ought to be if it's his will. If it's his call and his will for your life, he'll give you the enablement that you need, no matter what it is. If it's the aptitude to be a rocket scientist, if that's his will, he'll help you to be able to absorb the material that you're reading in the books. If you're to be a missionary to China, well, he'll help you with the language. He'll get you over the hurdles that, oh, I'm not good in languages. I can't learn languages. Well, if he wants you to be a missionary to China, I dare say he's going to have to help you with that language, and he will. Whatever it is that he's called you to be, he'll equip you for it. He'll make you to be what he wants you to be, and that will include in it all the ability that you'll need to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. But if you're trying to do something that you're not meant to be, if you're a square, and some of us are, and you're trying to fit yourself into a round hole, you'll not get there. You'll never get there, no matter how hard you try. But when you let the Lord have his way, he'll fit you where he wants you, and you'll find it's best for him to have his way with thee. I didn't know what to do these next couple of weeks. Morning worships. Okay, morning worships are regimented more so. That means you have a theme. And yes, I know the staff is having your theme of questions that Jesus asked. And that was very intriguing to me because those are good questions that Jesus asked. And then I thought some of the staff is up here repeatedly, and you've done that the last 2 weeks, and I don't know if all the ministers have spoken about, or they haven't. Then I guess I should have. I missed the boat on that one, I guess. But anyway, I said, well, I'm not going to, this is third period. They did that first and second, so I'm going to forego that idea. And then now, some of these people are here for 3 days, and some are here for 2 weeks, and you start something, and you got to end it before you start it. And then I saw the guest list, and some of you have got a whole period sentence. You're here, you're stuck. And I thought, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's a blessing and has been to me. And I probably have at least spoken about this somewhere along the line. I think I did here at camp maybe 10 years ago. I don't know. But there are lessons that I glean from the life of Gideon that I think transcend. They far go past the historical account that you find in Judges 6, 7, and 8 of the story of Gideon. And they really tell the story of a vessel and what God wants to do and how God can, through an ordinary, plain clay pot, just somebody that's as normal and as natural as you or I, if you're normal and natural, and how if we just let him have his way, he can make us what we never thought we could be. And that's kind of the incredible thing. When you can look back at your life and you can wonder, how could I get from here to there? Now, you'll wonder when you look back and say, it must be the Lord. It has to be the Lord because it couldn't be me. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Judges chapter 6. And if you want to, you can read. I'm just going to read the narrative. And I find a lot of, again, truths in here of how the Lord wants to make us, what he wants us to be. It's about the year 1256 B.C., 1256 B.C. Sister Hofflander was talking about age and old. Well, she's nothing compared to Gideon. This is old. This is aged. 1256 B.C. And it's been a bad time for the children of Israel. As you know, the judges are a bad time for the Israelites, for the people of God. They did that which was right in their own eyes, is the theme that you read over and over again in Judges. They did that which was right in their own eyes. And when you do what's right in your own eyes, it's not usually very good. Proverbs 14 says, there's a way that seems right, but the end is the way of death. And so the children of Israel got themselves in a bad way, we read at the beginning of the chapter, because they were doing things, as far as they could see, their own way. It had been about 200 years since Jeremiah the prophet had spoken. You remember what Jeremiah said and many things. But he said to them, you've committed two sins, two major sins. You've forsaken me, God is speaking. You've forsaken me. I'm the fountain of life, and you forgot me. And now you've gone to you out for yourselves cisterns that don't really hold any water. You forsook me, and you're doing your own thing. And that's why you're in the pitiful condition that you are. And it didn't get much better, much quicker for the children of Israel. So again, it says, again, verse 1 of chapter 6, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Notice, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Don't necessarily just jump to the conclusion that because the people of God are in a bad way, the devil, look what he's doing now. God allowed it. God permitted it because he has to. What do you mean he has to? You cannot sin against God. You cannot turn a deaf ear to his call with impunity. You know what I mean by that? If you don't listen to him, if you don't hearken, and how many times had he said that? How many times does he still say that? If you follow me, if you listen diligently, Joshua, if you hear my voice, if you obey my commands, if you walk in those ways, then your way will be prosperous and then you'll have good success. You don't want my ways, you want your own ways. And he as much he says to them, you're going to have it difficult. You're going to have a tough time of it. If you don't want my ways and you want your ways, good luck, because you'll need it. But luck doesn't take you very far when you're facing the Midianites. The Midianites are those that are, of course, antagonistic to the people of God, to the Israelites. They're the enemy that would like to incarcerate, the enemy that would like to bind the people of God, this is, of course, the ones that were freed from the house of bondage, the ones that came out through the blood that was put on the door. Those same people, that group of people, the enemy would like to entangle again, Galatians says, entangle again with what? With the yoke of bondage. If you're made free, you're supposed to stay free, but the only way you can remain free is if you continue to follow on and do what the Lord wants you to do. To the Galatians, Paul says, that you were made free or by the Spirit. You began in the Spirit. How are you ever going to be made perfect in the flesh? How do you think that's possible? How do you think you can now do it your way because you were made free? It's not going to happen. Something's going to go awry. And so with the children of Israel, it ran awry in a big way. And the Midianites were the ones that came upon them. Look what it says about the Midianites. The power of the Midianites was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor donkey, nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. Now that, you got to get the picture. I think you probably do. These Midianites were the first people to domesticate the camel. Okay, now that doesn't mean they had, come here, camel. Not in their house as a pet, but they took the camel and they used the camel like a horseback. They would ride on these camels. They would swoop down into territories like, boom, before you knew it, they were there, coming over the mountainside or the hillside on a camel. A whole horde of them. Here it says like a swarm of locusts. They just swept over. Now, I've never seen, with my two eyes, I've seen pictures only of what happens when locusts ravage a green field. Anybody ever see that? See what locusts leave in their wake? I mean, it's devastating. How in 2 days, 3 days, they could take a fertile, green, lush, plush pasture field and they can just make it brown, eat away all the greenery. A swarm of locusts, they leave in their wake just devastation, dearth, poverty. It's terrible. And that's the picture that's being described here. The children of Israel, they're not just, having a little tough time with the Midianites. They are, it said, I read the words, greatly impoverished. Now they're living in caves. Why are they living in caves? Because they're trying to hide from these Midianites. They're trying to subsist because the only way they can get food is to, grow a little bit or to try to keep a lamb or some flock, some sheep, some goat, something on the sly. But these Midianites or the Amalekites or some of the other eastern tribes would, before you know it, they were there and they were taking away everything that they possibly could start to grow, gone. Taken by the Midianites. All their animals and their livestock, gone. Taken by the Midianites. We mentioned last night from John 10, the enemy has come to do what?
Steal, kill, destroy.
And that's exactly what I'm reading here with the Midianites. That's exactly what the enemy has always been all about. And he still is about the same thing. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, the Lord had wanted to and always does want to give life. God didn't want this for his people. He didn't. He wanted to prosper. He wanted to bless them. I'm going to read in a few verses as to why they weren't prospering and blessing. But this is the situation, and I want you to understand, this is not the situation of, the Muslim community in Saudi Arabia or those that are living in Syria under ISIS. This is the condition of the people of God at this particular time. God's people were greatly impoverished by the enemy. Terrible, Terrible thought. But yet it's not so terrible. You know the verse I was looking for last night? You know my brother Frank knows all the Bible verses? Because he texted me last night after I got back to my room, and he said, the verse you were looking for is Proverbs 5:14. It's because he's thinking about this stuff. And he's looking it up, and he's trying to... In the midst of the congregation, there were those that were utterly ruined. Utterly ruined, it says, right in the midst of the assembly. They're greatly impoverished. Here they are, right among the people of God. And the Lord doesn't want that. He wants to deliver us. He wants to help us. Let me read quick. So there's nothing left. Their livestock, everything's taken. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. That happens every now and again, does it not? You've noticed that when people get into trouble, what do their thoughts go to? Yeah, help me, Lord. Lord, where are you now? Oh, I got to go to church tonight because I got big problems. They tell me, I guess I was alive, but the Cuban Missile Crisis, on a Friday, Sister Nancy probably was there. They tell me that on this particular Friday, it was coming to a head. Was it Kennedy that was calling the Marines to go into, or the naval ships to go into the bay? And it was really like on the brink. Are we, Russia, going to start another war now? And is it really going to come to that? And people got afraid. And they tell me that that night in Ridgewood, there were more people in that meeting than had been in a long, long time. You know what happened in New York, at least, after 9/11. I mean, all of a sudden, people were going to church. I mean, what are you doing? What is happening here? Something happened? Oh, yeah, that's right. The buildings fell down. People were afraid. And so they cried out to the Lord for help. It didn't last. Unfortunately, it didn't. At least not where I'm around in New York City. And it didn't last here either. But right now, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We're greatly impoverished. We've got this going against us and the preponderance of things that they're suffering. And so it says, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. Now, he sent them a prophet because God is what? Fill in the blank. God is, who said it?
Merciful.
God is merciful. Do you think the children of Israel deserve deliverance? You make your bed. What do you do when you make your own bed? Yeah, you lie in it. Man, it's your own fault. That's what you want. That's what you get. You know, if the Lord dealt with me that way, or you, it's your own fault. Suffer. But I'm glad the Lord's not that way with us. In other words, he's long-suffering. He's patient. He's not willing that any should perish. This poor man cried unto the Lord. And the Lord said, tough. No, he didn't say that. The Lord said, he inclined his ear and he heard my cry. And he lifted me out of the miry clay, out of the pit, and he set my feet upon a rock. That's what the Lord likes to do. He's just waiting. I wonder if the Lord would have heard their cry 2 years prior, if after 5 years they cried out to the Lord. Do you think the Lord would have heard them? If after 3 years, you think the Lord would have heard their cry, had they cried out to the Lord for help and for mercy, you think the Lord would have heard them?
Yes.
What takes us so long? Why are we so slow? Well, I tell you what it is. We somehow still think we can do this. I can do this. Yeah, my family's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. It's just falling apart. But I'm Papa Bear, and you know Papa Bear, he knows. I know this is going to work. We got reform schools out there. We've got counseling, sir. We've got this to go through and that to do. And well, let's try this now, and maybe that will work. And we probably just need to stop giving them as much sugar as we give them. Or we've got to teach them this. We've got all kinds of ideas as to what we're going to do to make it right. We're going to right the ship. And it just doesn't seem to work. Or maybe it works for a week or two, or a month or two, if we're lucky. And then somehow or other, here come the Midianites again. We just started growing a little bit. Wheat is beginning to show. Oh, it's about ripe, and it's about time. Pretty soon we're going to be able to eat again, because we're getting there now. We got sustenance, and boom, before you know it, there they come again, and you're devastated, and you're down back to square one. But now, after 7 years, they cry out, Lord, have mercy. And the Lord sends to them a prophet. And this is important. You know, the Lord just doesn't say, oh, you're crying out to me for mercy? Okay, bless you, my people. Midianites, gone. Go away. Bother somebody else. The Lord doesn't do that. Because there was one problem yet with these children of Israel. Why was it that they were greatly impoverished? Who could tell me? Yeah, now what had to happen before God could bless them? Oh, what's that word? Repent. They needed to repent. Well, the Lord sends them a prophet, and the prophet says, this is what the Lord says, the God of Israel. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. I did this. Isaiah 5 says, what more could I have done for you than what I've done? What do you want? I mean, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? I can't do anything more. I planted you, I dug you, I put a hedge around you, I protected you, I watched over you, because I wanted to bring forth a harvest of good grapes. And what do you give me? Sour grapes. I don't want your sour grapes. I want a good fruit. I want fruit that will redound to my glory. And what are you bringing forth? Oh, because it's all about you and your ways, and you're going to do it. And the Lord has to remind them. The Lord has to say to them, look, if you want success, you got to do it my way. You went your own way. You got to repent. You got to turn. One person told me once they repented. I turned 360 degrees. That's the problem. That's the problem with most repentance. Oh, Lord, I'm walking the wrong way, but now I'm going to change. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn 360 degrees. You did nothing. And too many people do nothing. The repentance is about as shallow as till the end of the meeting. There are about three tears and we're done. Repentance is 180 degrees. Repentance is going the other direction from the direction you were once going. Turning completely around. That's what the children of Israel needed to do. And if you're not interested in that, well, I don't know what else I can do for you. Let me remind you, I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I chose you, I dug you out, I pulled you from Egypt, I did everything I could, but you didn't listen to me. That's why you're where you are. That's why you're greatly impoverished. The angel of the Lord, it says in verse 11, came and sat down under an oak tree in, I guess, in Oprah Winfrey's backyard. I don't know. Oh, no, that's Ophrah. The oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon, oh, there he is, Gideon. Joash had a son. His name was Gideon. Was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. They had a little bit of wheat that they had gathered or gleaned and protected. And here's Gideon, this young strapping guy that's, he's threshing wheat. You ever see people thresh wheat? I see you've seen that. See, I've never seen that myself. And I'm told that back in these days, though, they didn't do it with machines and big, big things that they use now. But they used to just beat the daylights out of it, like you do with your kid. No, you like you don't do it. You better not. But they used to beat that wheat and thresh it. And where would the chaff go? The chaff is like the wind blows the chaff; it flies away. And the good grain—that's what you're looking for. And now, where do you usually do that? I mean, if you were prudent, where would you do that? If you were here at camp, where would you thresh wheat?
Outside.
Outside where it's breezy a little bit. That would be the best place, right? Where outside, maybe on the... Where was Gideon threshing wheat?
The wine
press. Now, where's the wine press? Is that outside in the middle of the... No, that's someplace below or inside. Now, that's not a good place to thresh wheat unless you wear a mask. You don't want to thresh your wheat in the wine press. So why was he threshing wheat in the wine press? Oh, he's trying to hide from the enemy. He was a smart young man. So he's trying to keep it under wraps. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to close with this thought, but look what the angel of the Lord says to Gideon. He said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So here's this kid threshing wheat in the wine press because he's scared stiff. He's not going out there where everybody can see him. He's smart. I'm not begrudging him anything. But I don't know. I don't know if he's a mighty warrior. I don't know. I would categorize this kid as a mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. And I don't know. I mean, the angel of the Lord says, "There you are, you mighty man of valor." I could see Gideon looking around like, "Who's anybody else here? Just me?" You're not talking to me, are you? A mighty man of valor? You got the wrong guy. Well, was he or was he not a mighty man of valor? Let's by the show of hands. Was he a mighty man of valor? Yes. Who would raise their hand and say he was?
At that time, no, but later, yes.
God, I'm not trying to trick you. How many think he's not a mighty man of valor? Not a mighty man of valor. Okay. Some of you are, nobody's really committing to anything here. We're sort of like, I don't know. Well, when the Lord looked at Gideon, and he saw Gideon, what did he see? He could see somebody. If you're willing to be in my employ, if you're willing to be a laborer and a worker for me, if you're willing to give up your own agenda, if you're willing to throw it all in my side, I see what I can make you. And what I'm going to make you is what you're not, what you're absolutely not. But I can make you what I want you to be if you just give in to me. You're a mighty man of valor, Gideon. No. You're that missionary that's on your way to India. No, me? No, never me. You're that future Sunday school teacher or pastor or Christian worker or youth leader. Me? No, not me. You're that one that's going to lead this. Me? No, not me. I'm not that way. I'm a little shy. I'm a little timid. I'm a little backward. I'm afraid of my own shadow. I'm just like Gideon. Mighty man of valor? No, you got the wrong one. Hey, listen, if he wants you to become that deliverer of Israel, and he picks on you to be the deliverer, if he wants you to be that missionary, that pastor, that servant of his, that whatever it might be, maybe you want to be the next Paul Munsiter and be the director of Pilgrim Camp. I don't know who in the world would ever want that job. But if he wants you to be that, then let him make you what he wants you to be. And he'll equip you for that task that lies before you. And you're saying today, well, it's not me. It's just I can't. No, it's not what you are now, it's what he wants to make of you. And he sees that. He sees the end from the beginning. You don't see that. You see in front of your nose if you're lucky. You see today, perhaps. You might see it next week or think you can. But he sees every day his plan for your life. And if you'd give him your life and let him unfold his plan, you'll find that when you get to the end of it, as we'll get to the end of it by the end of 2 weeks here, you'll find that it's best for him to have his way. And there'll be a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous victory that Gideon wins for the people of God. Why? Because one day when he was a kid threshing wheat in the wine press, the Lord spoke to him, "You mighty man of valor." Well, Gideon, and I promise I'm going to stop. I'm going to read one more verse. Gideon says, but sir, if the Lord is with us, if the Lord is with us, then what's going on? Yeah, I paraphrased it. If the Lord, now that's a good question. I don't think he's being fresh. Sir, angel of the Lord, sir, if the Lord's with us, then why am I threshing wheat in the wine press? Then why are we getting raided and robbed of everything? Why are we so great? If the Lord is with us, and that's what the angel said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. If the Lord's with us, then what's happening? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. I guess he maybe didn't listen to the prophet. The prophet answered that question already, so we're not going to answer it because we know the answer already. Gideon, there are reasons why the Lord is not with you. And it has all to do with you and your people because you're not with him. But now that you've cried out to me for help, I need somebody. I need somebody who can be the deliverer, who can lead my people into the victory. This is, of course, before Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Gideon, I need someone. I'm counting on someone. He's still counting on someone. I wonder if he could possibly have his way with me. His power, 116, could we turn to it? His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Let's stand together and just sing the chorus. That's all I want to sing is the chorus of 116. His power can make you what you ought to be. Ready? Let's sing it. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. And so let him have his way with you today. What he wants you to be, what he wants you to do, just let him have his way. Let him start the process or continue the process of molding you, fashioning you, and making you what he wants you to be. And you'll find that you'll be singing in a greater way. It's best, Lord, it's best. Now today, just before we're dismissed, a few announcements for today. There's prayer this morning, right now. In the prayer room, we'll gather, those of you that would like to, staff or guests or anyone. We're going to pray until noontime. And when noon rolls around, we'll be dismissed from prayer or however long you can stay. So if you'd like to come and pray for camp and for the needs and pray whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we'll gather in the prayer room this morning. Lord, have your way with us. Have your way with us this morning as we go to prayer. The staff, as they go to work, bless them and be with them this day. Strengthen them and keep them, Lord. We just commit each one to you and pray, Lord. We pray that, Lord, we would allow you to make us those vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Lord, we would give our all in your employ, our body, soul, and spirit, with all our heart, soul, and strength. Help us, Lord, to love thee as we ought to love. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.